Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Being an overcomer is a good life. Winning and then winning and then winning is a good life. The Lord didn't tell us we would have no challenges in this life. He told us we had an enemy arrayed against us, trying to devour and destroy us. But He told us that if we would follow Him, we'd stay in the light, we'd stay in the know, and that His Spirit in us makes us an overcomer, and that He would always cause us to triumph. So many are so quick to give up, to quit, and that's because of a lack of faith. The Scripture says, through faith and patience or perseverance, we inherit the promises. It's not enough to just believe God like a house of fire for 3 days and then get tired and quit. You get the same thing as if you hadn't believed God at all. You got to believe God until, right? Whatever it takes. If your faith is based on what God said, how's that going to read next week? Or next month, or 2 years from now? If your faith's based on what He said, then your faith's not going to change, because what it's based on will never change. And He is faithful to watch over His word and perform it. You can count on it. If you won't quit, if you won't faint, we shall reap, the Scripture says. Father, all of us agree together today is touching this, asking for the utterance, asking for the anointing, asking for the answers for today, for where we are now. And we say, Lord, get glory to Yourself in manifesting these things in us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
We've been for a number of weeks on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And how does faith come? It comes by hearing. How can I have strong faith, strong confidence? Faith is also a rest. How can I rest day in, day out, that all our bills will be paid? Everything we have, how can I not worry, overcome fear, overcome worry about all these things? Well, by faith, confidence, rest in God. How can I get that? Not just by wishful thinking or doing nothing. Faith doesn't come from nowhere. It comes, faith in me would come by hearing and deciding to believe what I told you that I could or would do. Faith in God comes from hearing what He told you He would do, and believing that He can do it, believing that He will do it. So, has He said anything about wanting our needs met, about our bills being paid, about where we live, how we live? Yes. Hallelujah. He's revealed Himself through many things that He has said and done for His people over millennia. And He never changes. And He's no respecter of persons. So if He wanted it for His people years ago, He still wants it for us. And so we've begun one by one giving 30 reasons from the Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why don't you say that out loud? Say, abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always
God's
will
for us all.
One more time, abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always
God's will
for me.
Always.
Hallelujah. That means today,
yes.
Right? Today's bills, this week's bills, needs now. And so our first point, our first reason that we looked at, number one, was the Lord, Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That same word translated want is translated lack. I shall not lack. And so we've gone one by one through 15 reasons, and we're down today and this week and last week too with number 16 in our study. We're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us because of the promised land. The promised land. God made covenant with Abraham to give the land that he had seen and traveled through in his lifetime, which was seven nations and all their territories, to give it to his descendants after him. Even told him it would be 400 years. And of course, you know, to us that sounds like a it's a gigantic amount of time. But like we talked about earlier, to God that's less than half a day, right? And so when he says, I'm coming soon, well, if he was coming this week, that'd be 7,000 years, right? So if he came within the week. So he sees time differently than when we do. And of course, he's seeing it right. We're the ones that are learning and growing and so new to everything. We are newbies. But his will was for them to have a great place to live and to enjoy his goodness. And we read in Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 8, we read in Nehemiah and different places that he said, God goes into detail. He's excited about what he has picked out for them. Well, you understand that we're made in his likeness and image. Have you ever done something for somebody and you were excited for them to find out about it? Yeah, you got it from him. You got it from your father. That's the way he is. And this is what I think we'll get into more today. If he's excited about it, we should be excited about him. And if we're not, that's a problem. It can be a big problem. And so he's excited about good cities, good houses, full of all good things, good orchards and vineyards, and the list goes on. And he obviously cared about those things. If not, if God really enjoyed his people living the most minimalist, bare, Spartan lives, then when they got to the desert, he would have said, you're home. Is that right? Right? Because that's how you had to live out there. I mean, you're nothing extra, nothing cushy. Nothing plush, nothing nice. This is minimalism. This is survival. But that wasn't God's plan. His plan was to take them through there and them learn some lessons about how to be led, how to obey, how to pay attention, how to have faith. But it was supposed to be a short trip to the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey, the good land where is no lack, no scarcity. Thank God. That was his will. He never changes. So what's his will for us today? Is it God's will that you go through hard times? Lack. Now see, people argue with that. Well, no, you know, I just can't agree with that because, you know, it was when I hit rock bottom that I got back to God. Well, that's because you were slow. Now you're laughing, but I'm telling you, I mean, if it takes you losing everything you've got to decide to come back to God, you were stubborn. You were hard-headed. You were slow. And so that you came back to God, that's wonderful. We're glad about that. But no, don't attribute a bad thing to God. Regardless of why, you need to take some responsibility for your life. Did I miss God? Did I not listen? Did I do things and wind up in places and with people and situations I was never supposed to be in? right? And some bad things happened. Do not blame that. Don't blame your disobedience on God. Take responsibility for it. And realize that, yes, He's merciful. And when you hit bottom, if you hit bottom, you call on Him, He will hear you. Thank God He's merciful. But don't try to spiritualize and romanticize your disobedience and try to act like that, you know, your missing God was a good thing. It was not. You didn't have to miss God. You didn't have to go that way. Now, we've all missed it. We've all come short. But is sinning the will of God?
No.
Huh? Is not listening to Him part of His plan?
No.
It's because we really do have a free will. So He planned for this, and part of what we're saying showed up so perfectly in this, because that first group that He's telling about, the good houses and all that, did they enjoy them? That first generation that came out, they did not. They did not. And I want us to talk about why. Go to Numbers, please, the 13th chapter. Numbers 13. This is where they got to the border of the promised land and were supposed to go in. In Numbers 13, the Lord told them to send people in and scout out the land. So they sent a head person from every tribe of the 12 tribes. And two of the head people were Joshua and Caleb from the tribe of Judah. And I think it was Ephraim. And then the 12 came back and brought the report. Numbers 13:25, they returned from searching the land after 40 days. So they got a good look at it, over a month. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel, and they brought back word to them. They brought back a report, and to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. Back up in verse 23, it said they took a branch of one cluster of grapes and bore it between two men on a staff, and they brought pomegranates and figs and to show how beautiful and amazing and bountiful the land really was. To this day, have you seen one cluster of grapes that was took two men to care? I mean, some serious grapes, right? And so what they're saying is, what kind of place produced that? Do you know the answer, class, already? What kind of place produced a good place produces things like that? They said, we came to the land and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled, and we saw the children of Anak there. And basically, verse 29, they said there's people everywhere. There's Amalekites in the south. There's Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites in the mountains. There's Canaanites that dwell by the sea and on the coast. There's people already here. It's occupied. And they're strong. And they're big. And they don't just live out in tents. They got walled cities. And Caleb stilled the people. He said, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Listen up. Let's go up now at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, you need to remind yourself that he saw exactly the same thing these others saw that are saying we can't do it. They saw the same thing. You know, sometimes people can get the wrong idea that there are people around them or in their life that seem to be going through the worst trials in human experience. It's always the most awful thing. And the thing is, so many times it's not that it's more awful than what other people are doing. It's just that they're bigger whiny babies. Huh? And that they don't talk about God and what He can help them do. All they focus on is the problem, and I can't. I know my brother and I, sometimes our mom would give us jobs to do when we were boys, in her flower bed, cutting the grass, working in the barn. I mean, and sometimes it would be big, you know. She thought we could do anything. I mean, just her and us little boys, I mean, We took on projects that were amazing. And so sometimes, once in a while, we'd whine if it was hot and we were tired. We'd go, we can't. And she said, can't never could do nothing. Get up, boys. Now, I know that's bad English, but can't never could. Right? can't. Yeah? If you say you can't, you can't. You're stuck. Words matter. And the Bible never said you can't. The Bible said you can. The Lord said you can. Didn't the scripture say, I can? Huh? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, say it out loud. I can. Now, the enemy will push you on this can't stuff. He'll push it on you. He'll push the thoughts. He'll push the words. And if you don't resist it in certain circumstances of your life, it'll come out of your mouth before you mean to. I just don't see how we can do this. I just don't. There's just no way. You ever heard this kind of talk? There's reasons why you hear so much of this, because if the enemy can get you to say that and believe that, then his evil spirits have a right to work that bad stuff in your life and to suppress you to the point where you cannot. But if you say, I can, even when it looks and feels like you can't, the Holy Spirit has a right. Oh, hallelujah, to help you, to boost you, to enable you to do what you could not do. The holy angels of God have a right and have access to assist you. So, brother, sister, don't say I can't. Say I can. Is that right? Yeah. Come on, say it out loud. I can.
I can.
I can. See, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it's been like, I can do all things. Come on, say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. Now, it's easy to say that when it looks and feels that way, that the place you really have to decide to do it is when it doesn't feel that way. It does not look that way. Everything about your head and what you're seeing and feeling is saying, I can't. I can't. And you're so tempted to say I can't sometimes because of the pressure. You just have to put your hand on your mouth almost and go, no, wait, hush, hush. Because, man, you feel like I can't. But by faith you say, come on, say it with me again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. Don't let this be the last time you say that. Say it several times today. Several times in the afternoon, in the evening, in the night, in the morning when you get up again. Say it. Say it. Especially applied to some specific area of something that's telling you you can't. I can. I can do this. Hallelujah. I can do it. I can. Not by myself. I know I need help, but I got help. Right? I've got help through Christ who strengthens me. He said, let's go up at once and possess it, for we can do it. We're well able to overcome it. He's not walking by sight, is he? Because see, they're a slave people just months ago. They're not a trained army. They don't have all the equipment or the training. And they're looking at trained, equipped armies, including giants and walled cities. He's not going by what he saw. We're well able. So that's how faith talks. Huh? So somebody says, how will we ever do this? And you can say, we're well able. Well able with the Lord's help. Right. Will we have enough? You go, no. We'll have more than enough. We'll have more than enough.
Yes.
Somebody needs to be saying this right out loud today. Are you going to make it?
Yes.
Can you make it?
Yes.
That was a little bit soft. Huh? I'm looking at you in the camera. Can you make it? I'm standing beside you in the chair now. I'm going to sit down in the chair with you. Here we go. All right. Can you make it through this?
Yes. Yes.
Come on, say, I can, I can, I can. In fact, I am well able. I'm well able. The devil will say, you ain't got a clue. You don't have the education. You don't have the connect. You say, shut up. I can do all things through Christ. I'm well able. I'm well able to do this. If the Lord told you to do it, He will be with you to do it. He will help you to do it. And with His help, you are more than enough. You are well able. And the people, the men that went with him, they said, we are not able to go up against this people. Now, the words matter. Because they also reveal belief. They reveal conviction. And that's the most important part of you. It's what you believe. It determines what you are, who you are, where you go. If we just stop right here, we've read the rest of this account. Caleb and Joshua said what? We can do it. Huh? In fact, we're well able. All the rest of them said, we can't do it. We're not able. How did it turn out? Caleb and Joshua were enabled to do it. Is that right? It took 40 years, but they got there. And all the rest of them, what? They were not able. And you'll see later in the very next chapter, the Lord said, I'm going to do what came out of your mouth. By your words, the scripture Jesus said, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be judged or condemned. By what? By what comes out? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you're hit with an attack or with a dangerous or a deadly or a devastating situation, you'll find at the very moment that it happens, there'll be a push on you to go even use the Lord's name in vain and go, oh my God, what are we going to do? There's so much wrong with that. People say, well, that's just natural. No, it's not okay. It's the enemy pushing you to go, I'll never get over this. You'll never survive something like this. I'll be scarred for life. And if you don't change, you will be. You will be just what's coming out of your mouth. But there's a God who can heal you, who can restore you. Is there a God? If you will agree with Him, but He works with what you say. He works with what's coming out of your mouth. This is no small thing to stand up in the face of adversity and say, I can. With God's help, I can do this. In fact, I'm well able. Well able. Well able. Your head may be saying, you're joking, right? You say, shut up. Shut up. I am well able. Why? With the Lord's help, I can do anything. Well able. Well, you can't do this by yourself. I ain't by myself. Right? I'm not by myself. I already knew that. Thank you. I'm not by myself. He is with me. He is in me. He is for me. And I can do it with His help. They said, we can't. We can't. There's no way. We're not able. And they were right. For them, it wasn't going to happen. And it didn't. Now, chapter 14 says they cried in their tents all night. And then they said, let's make us a new captain. Let's get rid of this Moses and Aaron and get some new leadership in here. Somebody that will agree with our unbelief. And go back to Egypt. Bad idea. And they already forgot they were slaves, I guess. And Caleb, verse 6, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, he and Joshua, son of Nun, they were of them that searched the land. He's reminding you, they saw the same thing these guys are flipping out over. They saw the same giants, the same cities and everything. They spoke to all the company of the children of Israel. They said, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Why was it important to say that? You see in the very next phrases and verses why. Because it says here in just a moment, they brought up a slander of the land, an evil report against the land. They called it a bad land. That was their undoing. It was insulting and actually angering to God. Come on, think about it. You've gone to great effort and expense. and you're excited about giving somebody something spectacular. And they look at it and cuss it. And call it nothing. And call it bad. And lousy. And harmful. And this and that. Well, I mean, they couldn't have insulted you more if they'd have backhanded you, right? I mean, right? You know? And God is a person. He's not just a machine. He's a lot like us. Because we're made like Him. We're in His likeness and image, minus all the junk. But that He has feelings, that He has emotions, He can be mad, sad, glad, all of those things. That's how He is. We're made like Him. But they reiterated Joshua and Caleb. They called the land what God called it. And they got to enjoy it eventually. Are y'all awake or not? They called what God called good, they called good. And they got to enjoy it. All the other ones, which was most of 2 million people, they called what God called good, bad. And they disqualified themselves from ever enjoying it. They called good bad. We looked at this in Isaiah a few lessons back. He said, woe to him that calls good evil and evil good and light dark, darkness and darkness light and those kind of things. Provision is good. Yes. Having plenty is good. Yes. And if you mock it and disparage it and call it bad, you'll never be bothered with it. You won't have it. But as for me and my house, we know a good thing when we see it. How about you? Huh? I mean, a nice house, that's a good thing. A new car, that's a good thing. Nice clothes, that's a good thing. And I've been enjoying it too. Hallelujah. It didn't all happen overnight, but more and more, if you be willing and obedient, you will enjoy, you will eat, you will experience the good of the land, because the good God's good plan includes all manner of good things. And our time's up again today. You got to come back. We're just getting started on this part. We'll see you soon here in Faith School. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.